Okay, sounds good to me. Thank you. Okay, so now we're going to get started. Everett, please.
Mark 12:31-33. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices."
Okay, and so we find that the spiritual application or concept of the sacrificial system for the Levitical priesthood is actually to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And Yeshua said the second, to love our neighbor as ourself, is the same. It's the same. It's not any lower, and it's not any higher. So we need to keep that in mind, because what we're going to learn today is the concept of loving the Lord our God through loving our neighbor. That's the concept of it. So I often say we need, as a people, we need to learn how to pray without moving our lips. You see, we need to learn how to pray with every fiber of our being, so that it's not just lip service, it's not just reciting a prayer, it is about praying with passion in our lives. So, you want to read the next one, please, somebody?
Okay. This is 1 Peter 2:5. "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Yeshua," and you have Christ.
Yeah, Messiah. That's fine. Okay, so bottom line is that we are called to offer spiritual sacrifices. It is part of our calling. Once we are being drawn in, we are drawn into a new order. And the new order says it's spiritual sacrifices. This is how we keep Torah. We keep Torah by participating in spiritual sacrifices. Go to the next one.
Romans 12:1. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship."
There you go. That was good. Go to the next one.
Ephesians 5:2. "And walk in love as Messiah also has loved us and gave himself for us, a gift and an offering to Elohim for a sweet smelling fragrance."
Okay, you see that walk in love? Walk in love. It's part of the spiritual sacrifice. Next one.
"Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners."
Okay. Same. Very good. Go to the next one.
Right. Can I say something on that one?
You want to? No. Not yet. No comments.
Well,
no comments till later. Go ahead.
The next reading is clear down the page past subtitle of Acts of Kindness, Tzedakah.
Yeah, we're going to read that. That has to be read.
You want me to read that?
If you're reading next, you go right ahead.
Acts of kindness, tzedakah, and charity.
Okay, stop right there. We're going to discuss acts of kindness. That's the first on the list. It's not necessarily the first in priority. But I singled out three different sacrifices that I feel we should be doing as believers. And so we're going to kind of explain them, go through them, and maybe point us in that direction. So what we have here now is an explanation of two different Hebrew words that are often used. They're intertwined. They're used either one when trying to express acts of kindness. So go ahead, Sheila, read them.
The Hebrew root word for charity is not tzedakah, but chesed. Okay, fine.
Okay, let's go. Come on.
These two words have opposite meaning.
Chesed.
Charity implies that the recipient has no right to the gift and that the donor is under no obligation to give it. He gives it gratuitously from the goodness of his heart. His act is a virtue rather than a duty. Tzedakah means righteousness or justice. The implication is that the donor gives because it is his duty. For firstly, everything in the world belongs ultimately to God. A man's possessions are not his by right. Rather, they are entrusted to him by God. And one of the conditions is the trust. Of that trust is that he should give to those who are in need. Secondly, a man has a duty to act towards others as he asks God to act towards him. And as we ask God for his blessing, though he owes us nothing and is under no obligation, so we are bound in justice to give to those who ask us, even though we are in no way in their debt. In this way, we are rewarded, measure for measure. Because we give freely, God gives freely to us.
Okay, very good. It's two definitions that I would like for you to consider when thinking about acts of kindness. Because in when we see people who are in need, I think it's kind of human nature to say, but they do this, or you know, if they wouldn't have such bad habits, they wouldn't be in the condition they're in. And there is a fine line between giving and enabling somebody. There is a fine line. I understand that, and I think that when it's obvious that your gift is going to enable somebody, I think you need to think about that. It requires a little bit of wisdom on our parts. The act of giving to somebody, whether it's physical or spiritual or emotional, whatever the form is, it takes wisdom to know how to apply it. Because enabling somebody to continue in their bad habits is not an act of kindness. It's not an act of kindness. It is probably more not being too bright than being unkind. So, okay, let's go to the first, the next scripture there then.
Matthew 6, 2 to 4. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
Okay, so there it is telling us our approach to acts of kindness. We are to do it with discretion. We are to attempt, let's say, to make our best attempt to perform acts of kindness without drawing attention to ourselves. It's not about look at me, what I do. It's about how can I help somebody? How can I be a blessing to somebody without drawing attention to myself, without it? So think about that when you're performing acts of kindness. It doesn't do a whole lot of good to, quote, sound the trumpet or to make it very obvious that you are performing an act of kindness. It's far better, even if you have to do it through a third person, to avoid the implication. And I know that in a lot of synagogues, they have this tzedakah box, and people put money in there or whatever, and then the rabbi distributes it. In a lot of homes, they have a tzedakah box in their home where they gather money or whatever, and they keep it there, and then a certain period of time, they give it to the rabbi to distribute or by some other means. So that's how it's handled.
In Jerusalem, we noticed there were loaves of bread here and there that they would leave for someone who is needy, and so they'd never even see the person who would take the loaf of bread. It was just that if there's someone out there in need, those people in need would know that that's available.
That's very good.
But my version has doing a kind deed. So you could do a kind deed even for someone who is not needy. It would just be an attitude that you would use all the time.
That is true too. I have a cousin who delivers auto parts, and he told me one time he was driving in a local city. And he saw this little old lady struggling with a garden hose. Stopped the truck, got out, fixed the hose for her, got in his truck, and left. Act of kindness. You see? It didn't have to be money. It didn't have to be time. It doesn't have to be those things. It just has to be the attitude. The attitude.
I've been in shuls, and I kind of have a feeling most shuls are this way, synagogues are this way, where there's a box that goes around, like we pass the basket at church, you know. Anyone can take out of there.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
That's a good idea. Good idea.
It's not, no one's going to ask you any questions, but there's a tradition in Judaism that you just take what you need and that people trust.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, it doesn't belong to the church, it doesn't belong to the rabbi, it doesn't belong to the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
It's charity until it's collected. While it's going around, if someone needs, they take out.
Great idea. Okay, let's move on then. Next verse.
Hebrews 13:16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God.
So do not neglect to do it. You know, they have sins of omission. Sins of omission. It's as wrong to neglect sharing with what you have that it is to do something intentionally bad to somebody. Also, the concept that we don't own anything in our lives. There is nothing in our lives that we haven't been given. And so therefore, the fact that we are not the owners, we are the, what's a good word for that? The custodians of this. And it is up to us to represent the owner here at this time to help other people. Think about God. What does He do? He gives. And so that's the mindset that we need. When we leave here, I want to plant these seeds deep. When we leave here, we need to be thinking, how can I help people? What can I do to help them? That is a big aspect of it. It's not, oh, I have to. What do I have to do? It's not that. It's what can I do? It's a whole different paradigm of helping people, of going after people to help them. See, it's a different concept. What's the next one? Somebody else reading?
Philippians 4:18. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God.
There you go. A fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. That's what we're looking at. That is the quote payment. That's the payment that we receive when we give. We have performed a fragrant sacrifice, a spiritual offering. Very good. What's the next one?
Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. For Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body.
Very good. I'll take this out of it. As though you are in prison with them. As though you are in poverty with them. As though you are hungry with them. Big difference. Big difference. You know, right away you stop thinking about your car or your clothes or your things in life when you begin to get hungry, you see? When you begin to experience need in your life, then you begin to understand how it feels when somebody performs an act of kindness towards you. And so performing an act of kindness then becomes different. Has a whole, it's a different concept, different paradigm. All right, what's next?
Matthew 25:31-40. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. And He will place the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave Me food. I was thirsty and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed Me. I was naked and you clothed Me. I was sick and you visited Me. I was in prison and you came to Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty and gave you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, unnaked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, My brothers, you did it to Me."
Amen. Okay, so when I first read that, you know, I don't know, not first read it, but years ago, I thought, now isn't this strange? For we are saved by grace and random acts of kindness. That's what I was thinking in my own mind. Random acts of kindness. Seems to, if you look at the scripture, you know, just looking at it, seems to be a way to salvation.
Amen.
So, but what I learned was this: what you are seeing, what you are being told about, random acts of kindness, is actually the fruit. It's the fruit of repentance. Random acts of kindness are the fruit of repentance. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, and I think it's verse 28. Can somebody get that, please? Ephesians 4:28, and I'll show you.
Let him who stole steal no more.
Absolutely.
But rather let him labor, working with his hands, with his spirit, that he may have something to give to him who has need.
Amen. All right, this is what I've come to see. Ephesians 4:28 describes a process, the process of repentance. Because if you are a thief, and you stop stealing, the question is, have you repented? If you stopped stealing, have you repented? My answer is no. I like to use the explanation of the quote dry drunk. It's a person who is still a drunk; they just haven't drank recently. So stopping a sin is not repenting from a sin. You see, so if you steal and you go to work and you start working to support yourself, have you repented? And the answer is no. You have not repented by working and supporting yourself. You have only repented when you stop stealing, when you go to work, and when you learn how to give. When the thief gives, he has repented. When the liar not only stops lying, but speaks the truth, he has repented. When the hater stops hating and starts loving, then he has repented. And so the bottom line is that when we see these acts of kindness to these people, it is a sign of a repentant person. So think about that. Think about repentance in your life and how the expression of that repentance is or are acts of kindness. Okay, let's go to the next one.
The next section.
Okay, then we're going to go to the next section, which is prayer.
Could you first give us some more about the difference between tzedakah and chesed and how it may help discern what type of good deed you can do?
I don't know if I could do that. To me, the difference between the two is in the attitude. You do it because you feel you have to be righteous, or you do it because you are driven by the chesed, the kindness, the love of the Father that's in you. I think it's more an attitude than it is any particular thing or whatever.
So one is not a duty and one is a duty, or is that just an attitude?
No, in my own opinion, acts of kindness are a duty. By whatever means you do it, it gets done. But if you're doing it because you think it is for righteousness, because you want to be righteous, I think you're doing it for the wrong reason. That's what I think. All right, let's go to prayer. Let me say this. When I picked these out and thought about them, I picked out acts of kindness, prayer, and fasting. Thinking about it, there was one more. I couldn't really put it together. But I think it's also praising, singing, which I think it might be another spiritual sacrifice. But we'll see. That might be something for you to think about over the year. It's a thought, basically. So let's start with prayer. Somebody want to read?
Whose church is it?
Pardon me?
Where
is it? These terms are opposite. Bakasasha means to pray, request, and beseech. But tefillah means to attach oneself. Bakasasha, the person asks God to provide him from above with what he lacks. Therefore, when he is not in need of anything, feels no desire for a gift from above, bakasasha becomes redundant. But in tefillah, a person seeks to attach himself to God. It is a movement from below, from man, reaching towards God, and this is something appropriate to everyone and at every time. A believer's soul has a bond with God, but it's also It also inhabits a body, whose preoccupation with the material world may attenuate that bond. Mm. So it is constantly to be strengthened and renewed. This is the function of tefillah, and it is necessary for every believer. But while there may be those who do not lack anything and thus have nothing to request of God, there is no one who does not need to attach himself to the source of all life.
Thank you. Bakasha is, I think, more in the lines of supplication. I think it's more in the lines of when you need something and you get kind of desperate and you increase the volume or the passion in what you are asking for, and so Bakasha comes into play. That's what I was thinking. Okay, so let's go to the first verse then.
Exodus 30, verses 7 through 8. And Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it. Every morning when he dresses the lamps, he shall burn it. And when Aaron sets up the lamps at twilight, he shall burn it. and bring your incense offering before the Lord throughout your generation.
Very good. Now, what we have here in this scripture is a description of the time of the day when the incense was burned on the golden altar, which was right outside of the tent, and not right outside of the curtain where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. So Judaism has grown into praying three times a day, and it's based on the scriptures that talk about Daniel, said that he prayed three times a day. But in Exodus, definitely the incense was offered up twice a day. Remember when we were talking about the sweet savor of our sacrifices, etc.? I personally like to pray twice a day. I like it in the morning and in the evening. If it happens to coincide with sun up and sun down, that's okay. But I like to follow that pattern for prayer. And that's not saying that prayer is something that needs a strict regiment, but I think there are different kinds of prayers that we can say. And I think there are prayers that are more of a need, which may arise, and then there are prayers that we can say in the morning and in the evening. So that's why I put that in there, so we could see the times that they would pray in Israel to this day. Certain people will stand even in the streets or in the synagogues facing towards Jerusalem and praying at these two times. So that happens yet today. And I know the history that I've read about it. That happened in the early centuries of Judaism and Messianic Judaism, that they would face Jerusalem when they were in the country, 100 miles away. They would face Jerusalem and they would pray. So that
they were in the city.
They were in any city, yes. And so what that would do is that would incorporate the sacrifices, the morning and the evening sacrifices, would not only be taking place in the temple, but the people would be participating in them throughout the entire country. So it got to be much more than just the sacrifice of an animal. It got to be the offering of these prayers throughout the whole country at this time. So it was a lot bigger than what we think. All right, let's go to the next one.
If they were in Jerusalem, where did they face?
The temple.
Before I read, what would characterize oblations, the morning and evening sacrifices and oblations? What would their oblations
be? I have no idea.
Depends on whether it's temple or no temple.
I have no idea. Okay, let's...
Okay, Matthew 6:5-14. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and having shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. And when praying, do not keep on babbling like the Gentiles, for they think that they shall be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, is the way you should pray. Our Father who is in heaven, let your name be set apart. Let your reign come. Let your desire be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into trial, but deliver us from the wicked one. Because yours is the reign and the power and the esteem forever. Amen.
Amen.
For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father shall also forgive you.
Okay. If my estimation is right, this class is just about over. And so, once again, I didn't get through it. It's 2 years in a row, but I think that we, you know, we're going to stop on time for sure. But I think that what we could do is just to encourage each one of us to consider these things that are on these pages. That's why I printed them up so you could take them with you and look at them and begin to ask yourselves, how can I do this? What can I do in my life? A lot of times the application of Torah is not perfect, but it's the beginning. And as time goes, there is growth. As you practice something over and over again, it gets better and better. And so I want to encourage all of you. This today, the purpose today was to give us all something that we could do. We could do it today if you wanted to. It's a practical way to start to put Torah, to start to put these things into our lives. And it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference, I guarantee you. So it is 11:25. I have 5 minutes. Do we want to run another verse, or do you guys have any questions, or what should we do? It's up to you.
Another verse.
Go ahead.
Who's that?
Right here. Revelation 5:8.
Hebrews 13:15.
Yeah. Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name.
There's that praise that we were talking about. The sacrifice of praise. And so that becomes, there is a verse there, it says like 1 Timothy chapter 2.
Yes.
Can somebody read that?
First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercession, and thanksgivings be made for all people.
Okay. Those are the four different prayers, and now we see where praise came in there. So there's five different ways to, or different venues to pray for. The supplications, we talked about that. It's when you need something. The intercessions, if you look, and what I've seen, that when every time Yeshua said, I have never seen so great a faith in all of Israel, it was because it came from somebody who was intercessing for somebody. It came from an intercessor. Then we have the prayers. And the prayers, I'm a believer in the Hebrew prayers, the Amidah and the Aleinu and on and on and on. They're beautiful. And they are, my understanding is they are up to 90% scripture. So when you go into these, when you come to our meetings, you come into a place and you read scripture, you sing scripture, you pray scripture. You see, now that's to me the highest form of worship.
The other verse you have in here is Revelation 5:8. Seems a bit different. I was wondering why you included that one.
I have no idea. I don't, honestly. What does it say? Maybe I can help.
It says, and when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints.
There you go. The prayers of the saints are held. They are held in store and presented before our King. One more thing. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10:24, and that'll be it. We're gonna stop. Hebrews 10:24. Somebody want to read it?
You've got it, Phil.
Let us be concerned for one another in order to stir up love and good works.
There you go. That's the reason that we go to our service. That's the reason we have services. Because we go there to stir each other on to love. Remember, v'ahavta, you shall love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your might. And good works. The connection is there. So, you love the Lord your God by doing good works. Acts of kindness. That word there is mitzvot in the Hebrew. It means good works. It also means commandments. Same thing. It's the same thing because it is the same thing. You see? So, take it to heart. Take it to heart. I want to encourage all of you to think about what we've discussed and to try to apply it in your lives.
Hallelujah.
That's it. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.